conspector egum, et non confundebar, et meditabar in mandatis tuis, quod ilexini.
February 7th, Mark 6, 14-29. King Herod had heard about him, since by now his name was well known. Some were saying John the Baptist had risen from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is a liar. Others again, he is a prophet, like the prophets we used to have. But when Herod heard this, he said, it is John whose head I cut off. He has risen from the dead. Now it was the same Herod who had sent to have John arrested and had him chained up into prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had told Herod, it is against the law for you to have your brother's wife. As for Herodias, she was furious with him and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to do so, because Herod was in awe of John, knowing him to be a good and upright man, and gave him his protection. When he heard him speak, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. An opportunity came on Herod's birthday, when he gave a banquet for the nobles of his court, for his army officers, and for the leading figures in Galilee. When the daughter of this same Herodias came in and danced, she delighted Herod and his guest, so that the king said to the girl, ask me anything you like, and I will give it to you. And I swore her an oath, I will give you anything you ask, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptist. The girl at once rushed back to the king and made her request. I want you to give me John the Baptist's head immediately on a dish. The king was deeply distressed, but thinking of the oath he had sworn and of his guests, he was not able to break his word to her. At once the king sent one of the bodyguard with orders to bring John's head. The man went off and beheaded him in the prison. Then he brought the head on a dish and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Today's gospel presents us with the sad fact that the prophet who speaks on behalf of God stands in the way of the powerful. These are often in danger of becoming law for themselves and no longer submitting to God. A presumption that sooner or later falls back on those who act in this way if they do not repent. Thus, we see the sad figure of Herod, who is blinded by the erotism of the daughter of Herodias, and then is too cowardly to take back his oath in front of all guests, when the girl, seduced by her nefarious mother, demands the death of John. We continue to hear about the deceitfulness of Herodias. All this is in stark contrast to John the Baptist, who knows that he is committed to the law of God and is not afraid to bear witness to the powerful. It is a difficult task of the prophets to bring the word of God to bear and to point out when the instructions of the Lord are violated. Thus it is a ministry of humility that is only sounded out by God himself in its depth and receives the true reward from him. On earth, this ministry can very easily result in the loss of life, as we heard with John. To follow the truth of God, to obey his commandments, and to put oneself under the commandments is what we have to do. For us Catholics, this is a vocation to be realized, to become, in our own way, a prophetic sign in this world, to become the salt of the earth. But what happens when the salt of the earth becomes stale? What if we Catholics move away from the truth of the gospel and no longer observe the teaching of the Church? What if we listen more to the powerful on this world and adapt ourselves to the spirit of the world? Could we then still see ourselves as Catholics? When I ask this question in the context of today's gospel, then I unfortunately feel obliged to tell all those who listen to us about a very sad and painful development of the Catholic Church in Germany. In it, a synod has begun for a planned period of 2 years in which bishops together with lay people will discuss the future path of the Church in Germany. The topics that have long since been guarded more hidden and are now openly discussed, like a new view of sexual morality, blessing of homosexual couples, advocacy of the admission of women to spiritual offices. In the way of Amoris Laetitia, it is the admission of people to Holy Communion who have entered into a second intimate union, although sacramental marriage still exists. It is to be agreed with the sharp-sighted observation of Auxiliar Bishop Athanasius Schneider, who wrote about this in a comment in Catnet, an Austrian internet portal. The synodal way, he said, is ultimately about the attempt to officially confirm errors of faith with their corresponding sacramental and pastoral practice, which for decades have already spiritually undermined the life of the Catholic Church in Germany. Cardinal Müller, the former prefect of faith, also sharply criticizes the so-called synodal way. Thus he says, in the synodal process, the majority has decided that its decisions are valid even if they contradict Catholic doctrine. I won't go now into the issues the synod will discuss now, since no decision has been taken yet. However, the direction is clear. Because we have been observing for a long time in Germany and other parts of the Universal Church that a process of modernization is being sought in order to bring the Church into harmony with the thinking and feeling of the world. But it is important to listen carefully and to grasp the significance of the following sentence, which now applies to the synodal way. The majority has decided that its decision will apply even if they contradict Catholic doctrine. It is an incomprehensible statement for a believing Catholic, which Cardinal Müller comments in this way with regard to the synod. It is a self-appointed assembly which is not authorized by God or the people it purports to represent, overrides the constitution of the Church of Divine Right, which is based on the Word of God in Scripture and tradition. We, therefore, now have a situation in the Catholic Church in Germany in which an assembly of bishops and lay people has authorized itself to take decisions that contradict the doctrine of faith. This should awaken every Catholic who loves his Church. Quo Vadis, Catholic Church in Germany. This path leads to apostasy. Another remark on my own matter. I refer you to my blog, which deals critically with the topic Global Education Pact, to which Pope Francis invited on May 14. Also the topic of the synodal way in Germany will be discussed there even more intensively.
The entrance verse of today is a part of Psalm 119. I will give testimony from you before kings without trembling. I will meditate on your commands because I love them.
Loquebar de testimonies.